Welcome to Baraka Church. As Pastor Jonathan Smith concludes the series, I choose thankful. Everyone can remember a moment when someone did something for us that made us feel great. And everyone knows that as a human being, we don't always feel joyous and grateful. In this message, we explore a frame of mind that changes how we see the world and life itself.
So some time back, Denise and I were able to enjoy a dinner together out, and the night started like it often does with the big question, where do you want to go eat? And the answer was, I don't care, wherever. And so then you know how it goes. Well, how about this place? No, that really doesn't sound good. Where do you want to eat? I don't care. Well, how about this place? And I would say, no, that really doesn't sound good. So we finally showed up at Cracker Barrel after having that discussion for about 45 minutes. And then we were told that there was an hour-long wait, to which we both said, that doesn't sound good. So we get back in the car, and the conversation started all over again. Well, where do you want to go eat? And so we ended up at another restaurant, and there was about 12 people that were seated in the waiting area, and they said it would be about 20 minutes, and we thought, well, that's probably about as good as we're going to get on a Friday evening. And after about 25 minutes of standing there, I mumbled something about how long it was taking to be seated. Like, they had said 20 minutes, we're going on 25. I could have made the choice to be thankful. Like, I had a lot to be thankful for. I woke up another day. She said yes to going out with me, which is a big deal. I got to eat another meal. We had the money to go and pick off a menu, anything that we wanted that was on the menu. Someone else was going to be doing the cooking, which is always refreshing at times. We were going to be served. Like, we didn't have to get up and go get it. They were going to clean up, which is, right, all of us say amen to that. I mean, it's so easy to be ungrateful and so difficult sometimes to live a life just of pure thanks all the time. And here's the question I have for all of us today. What did you give thanks for yesterday? What did you thank God for yesterday? And you might say, it was a really busy day, and I mean, well, I watched some football, and I mean, there's other things going on, and how about list all the things that you thanked God for this past week? What if when you got out of bed this morning, the only things you had in your life were the things you expressed thanks for yesterday? Last week, we began just a two-week series that we've called I Choose Thankful. And if you were not with us, we looked at being the one who chooses thankful, even if we are the only one. To resist the mindset that says, I want it now, to resist the mindset that says, I deserve more, and to embrace and to choose thankful. Today, I want to look at a person in the Bible that if you grew up in church or have been in church for any amount of time at all, you know his story. You're familiar with Daniel's story. God blesses his commitment and elevates him. Probably the best, most well-known part of Daniel's story. Some could argue it's Daniel 1, where he chooses to not defy himself with the king's meat that was offered to idols. That could be the most familiar part, but certainly we could argue that Daniel 6, where God delivers him from the den of lions, is probably the most well-known part of Daniel's story. Daniel was known for faith. Daniel was known for boldness. Daniel was known for not compromising. But Daniel was also known for gratitude. And I want to show you that today. I want to look at that story in the light of choosing thankful, a heart of thanks that permeates into our lives. And today I want to drill down on this subject of choosing thankful every day in every circumstance. Daniel chapter 6, if you have your Bibles, you can turn there in them. Daniel was an exceptional leader. Daniel was already in a cabinet position. King Darius had made plans to promote him to rule over the whole kingdom. Daniel was getting ready to get the ultimate promotion. Because of the jealousy of others towards Daniel, King Darius is tricked by these jealous men, and the law is made that no one in his kingdom could pray to anyone except for King Darius. When Daniel found out that whoever prayed to another other than King Darius would be put to death, the Bible says this in Daniel 6 and verse number 10. When Daniel knew, like it wasn't an accident, he wasn't pleading ignorance, like Daniel knew, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave what? And gave thanks before his God, as he had done previously. Like nothing changed in Daniel's life because he was told he could no longer pray. And he gave thanks for it. Most of us would have crumbled if the government would have taken away our religious liberties. Most of us would have at least started devising a plan, acting against it. But before Daniel started making a plan, Daniel gave thanks to God, because this is just what he did. Thanksgiving is getting to a place in our lives where praising God is just what we do. It doesn't matter if you get the new car or if you have to drive the old car a little while longer, or if the old one breaks down and you have to hitch a ride. Giving God praise is just what we do in all circumstances at all times. I believe that one of the things that sets Daniel apart that does not get mentioned often is not just his courage in the big moments, but his sense of gratitude. His sense of gratitude that permeated every moment and showed him the way in every situation. He gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Daniel thanked God when he was getting the promotion. And he thanked God when it meant he may lose his life. Some of us have a hard time praising God when the worship team starts singing because we're afraid someone next to us might hear us singing off key, so we choose not to. Like, it doesn't take much to shut us up. But Daniel was not silent when it came to his God. He didn't care who heard. He didn't care who saw. He was going to do it just as he had done before. Had this been me, I may have kept it on the down low. Like, I would have just praised God in my heart. Like, I would have thought, well, I don't have to pray out loud. I don't have to give thanks to God out loud. I mean, I can just do it silently. Perhaps I would have sang the worship song after everybody had gone to bed. Perhaps I would have kept the windows shut where everyone couldn't see what I was doing. Perhaps I would have just kept it quiet. But Daniel had a sense of thanks that propelled him through the trials of this life. And this is a message that if I'm not daily intentional about, I can easily resort back to being ungrateful. Anybody else struggle with that from time to time? Like last week, we began this series talking about having a mindset of gratitude. And here's the confession. Today, I am again speaking about one of the greatest struggles I have on a daily basis. Not just a struggle, but also a constant sin battle in my life. I'm guessing if we were to have a show of hands this morning and we were to be incredibly honest, most of us have a problem with gratitude. And here's the goal. My goal is, and my prayer is, that every one of us will be more grateful than when we were before we came in today. That's my prayer. That's my goal. That every one of us will develop a life of choosing thankful. Because when we aren't, we can get really ugly, really negative, really fast. Philippians 2:14 says this: do all things, not some things, not a few things, not occasional things, but do all things without grumbling or disputing. I want to point out to you, I want you to know this is a command, right? That's not a hypothetical. That's not a suggestion. That's a command. So I have this question for us. If we are commanded in Scripture not to grumble and complain, the question is grumbling and complaining and disputing a sin if we do? Right? Yeah, sure it is. I have never heard anyone say, that person has the greatest personality. They just light up the room with their complaining. I mean, it's just amazing. It's amazing. I mean, I love it. I've never heard that. I've never heard anyone say, like, who peed in your Wheaties because I've been so encouraged hanging out with you today. Like, nobody ever says that, right? It's so easy for us to pick out everyone else's flaws and problems and sins. But how about that one? How about that one in our own life? Other than being one of the most difficult people to be around, why is that so important? Because Jesus said we're to be the light of the world in a really dark world. We're to be the light in a really dark place. Some of you remember growing up and the little song, This Little Light of Mine. Anybody know it? So can you just humor me for a moment? Can we sing that together for a second, all right? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. What's the second verse? Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it. All right, we don't have to go any further because we're gonna have some complaining and grumbling going on quickly. But there's that verse, like, hide it under a bushel. Like, no, that's not what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to let our light, the light that he's given to us, shine out. Now, this is why this is so important. If we go back to Philippians 2, verse 14, it says this, do all things without grumbling and disputing. Why? Verse 15, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. I mean, do you catch that? Like when we complain and when we grumble and when we dispute, we're hiding our light under a bushel. We're like everybody else. We're not shining brightly like we're commanded to, like God intended us to. I cannot guarantee that your situation is going to change by the time you get home today, but I do know this. The Bible says that a decree was issued that could not be changed. No matter how much King Darius wanted it to be changed, it could not be changed. That if anybody bowed down and gave praise and thanks and prayed to God, that they would be sentenced to death. It says nothing could change that situation. But how many know that when an unchangeable situation meets an unchanging God, God always wins? He always wins. By the time we get done with this, your situation may not be different today, but your perspective hopefully will be different. When your perspective is different, then you can rise above whatever you're going through. I want to show you four verses on gratitude and choosing thankful, and then I want to give you 4 points. We won't be as long as we were last week. I was a little surprised at how long-winded the speaker was last week when I look back. I promise you we're not doing that again. But I want to give you 4 verses on gratitude and choosing thankful. I would encourage you, like, write them down, reference them through the week. If you struggle with this, like, put them somewhere where you can regularly remind yourself of these things. The verses we started the service with, Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. He said, I will praise God, not just when I feel like praising God, but I will praise God even when I don't feel like praising God. When we have a grateful heart, we realize there are only 2 times to give God praise. When we feel like it, and when we don't, Why is that important? Because verse 31, as we've already read today, this will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hoofs. Way more important than going through the motions is praising God. Way more important than just showing up this morning for worship is genuine, heartfelt thanksgiving and praise. There is nothing of higher importance in your relationship with God than a grateful, praising heart. And one of the quickest ways to see God show up in your circumstance is to start thanking Him, even when sometimes it's hard to thank Him. And if you can't thank Him for what is happening to you, thank Him for who He is inside of you. If you can't thank Him for what is happening around you, thank Him for what He's done to you. If you've accepted Him as your Savior, He has washed you, He has cleansed you, He has forgiven you, He has given you assurance and peace that is greater than anything the world could give. Nothing will lift you out of negative circumstances quite like gratitude. Remember when Paul and Silas were stuck in prison at midnight, when it seemed the darkest, they started praising God in their prison cell. When they did that, the Bible says the chains began falling off, like God invaded that room, because praise can show up even in a prison cell. Some of you feel like you're stuck in lockdown in your life right now. You feel like you're stuck where you're at right now. But when you start praising God, not because of your surroundings, but because of His goodness and His greatness and His faithfulness and His blessings in your life, chains will begin falling off of you and it will set you free. Another verse, Psalm 100, verse 4, enter His gates. How do we go into His presence? How do we enter His gates? With what? With thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name. Why do we come before God with our pleas before we give Him a thank you oftentimes for what He's already done for us? God is saying to us here, when you come into My presence, I don't want to hear about any of your needs until I've heard your thanks for what I've already done in your life and done on your behalf. Because if I never do anything else for you, I have done enough. I mean, think about that. If God never does anything else for you, Him sending His Son Jesus to die for you is enough. That's for all eternity. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. One of the shortest verses in the Bible, but probably one of the most difficult to apply. Like, we could stay right at verse 16 For months. Rejoice always. I don't know about you, but that's convicting to me. I rejoice always. No matter what you're going through, whatever you're facing, rejoice always. And then verse 17, pray without ceasing. You say, do I have to walk around like always praying out? No, but you can have a conversation with God all day long. When you see that person that irritates you, when you sit down at family dinner on Thursday with somebody that you really don't want to be around, you could just say quietly in your mind, God, help me to respond the way You would. Help me to shine the light. I mean, you just have an ongoing conversation. That's pray without ceasing. And then verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances. Again, that word all messes us up, right? Because we'd like to pick and choose. God, I want to give thanks in that circumstance, and I want to give thanks over there. But God, this right here, like, I don't want to really give thanks in that circumstance. And the Bible doesn't give us that option. It says, give thanks in all circumstances, the good, the bad, and the ugly. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. A lot of people run around wanting to know what God's will is for them. And I can't always tell you if it's God's will for you to move to that place or to get that car or to take that job or to break up with that person. I don't know about God's will in some of those areas. But I found the verse that says, this is the will of God for all of us. Like, we don't even have to guess. We know it clearly that I'm to rejoice, I'm to give Him thanks, I'm to praise Him. And before He shows me the next part of His will that I don't know, how about we ought to just thank Him for the part of His will that I do know? Like, how about if we just be obedient to the part that we do? He says, this is My will, that you would give thanks in all circumstances. It is His will that I thank Him and praise Him. I want you to look at the person next to you and say, you need to be more grateful. Just go ahead and tell them. Just call them out. If you are online, just type in the chat, like, you should be more grateful. Just go ahead and put it out in the chat. Look at the person on the other side of you and say, if you're grateful and you know it, tell your face. Or maybe even if you don't know it, like, tell your face you ought to be grateful. There ought to be something where we begin to think about the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ. Praise ought to rise out of our hearts and out of our lips. When we start telling Him, thank you in all circumstances. Thank you that even though I went through the divorce, it doesn't have to define my life. Thank you that even though my past has lots of skeletons, God promised all things work together for good, even those things. Thank you that event doesn't have to be the destination. Thank you that you can even use it to propel me to a greater place in my journey. You can use all that junk in my past. You can use that event in my past that I didn't like to go through. I didn't want to go through, but I went through. You can propel it to help me. I thank you in all circumstances. Here's the last verse before we get to the 4 points today. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, in word or deed. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm either doing words or deeds, right? I mean, I don't know what else we do. In word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Like, again, well, we don't have, like, the choice of, hey, I can give thanks with these things. I really like these things. These are fun things. These are enjoyable things. I like those people. No, it's even the difficult situations, giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus Christ. I want to give you 4 observations on gratitude. 4 observations on gratitude. Number one is this, if you're taking notes. Gratitude is never invisible or silent. Gratitude is never invisible or silent. Luke 6:45 says, out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. In other words, if we're grateful people, it's just going to come out. Like, we can't help it. We're going to regurgitate. It's just going to come out. Let me contemporize it for us. Out of the abundance of the heart, the fingers tweet, text, Facebook, IG it, TikTok it, or Snapchat it. And I know someone's right here, they're like, what did he just say, Herb? What language was he speaking? Listen, if you didn't understand any of that, don't worry about it. Different generation, different time, it's okay. I'm amazed when I see Christians who just went to church, who say God lives inside of them, and all they can post later that same day is how tired they are, how over the day they are, how they just want to crawl in a hole and die, how bad they have it. Listen, it's okay to be honest. But we may want to check ourselves if it's been a while since you have verbalized or posted about your gratitude. It may be time to check up on that. And maybe what's in your heart's coming out. When is the last time you thank God from the heart? When's the last time from the heart you pulled out your phone and posted how overwhelmed you are about God's goodness to you? How overwhelmed you are about His mercy towards you. How you don't deserve His grace, but how His grace is abundant and amazing in your life and what He taught you today. When is the last time you sent a text to the person in your life that has helped you or a spiritual mentor or a life group facilitator and said, I thank God for you, like I'm learning through you. If you're really grateful, you'll say it and show it. It's not invisible. Maybe it's a different time period, and maybe a few years ago you would admit it more readily than you do now, but how many of you would admit back like 10 years ago, let's go back far. Let's say 15 or 20 years ago, you were an Oprah person, like you watched Oprah. And some of you are like, I don't know about this. I don't know where we're going. Just trust, all right? I'm not going to call you out. I want to show you a short video that I showed about 5 years ago. If you were at this church, I showed it 5 years ago. Oprah would do, and those of you who watched all the time, she would do, once a year, she would do a show with her favorite things. Remember that? Even if you didn't watch Oprah regularly, like you would see it, like it would be all over the place. People would be talking about it. And she would give away popcorn and Uggs and Volkswagen Beetles or whatever. I want to show you this short video and then I want to reference it.
So how about we meditate on this?
All right, now watching that, is there any doubt at all that these people are grateful that they showed up on the Oprah Favorite Things Day? I mean, people were crying, they were on their knees, they're doing the bowing down. Right there, pretty excited. Like, if they can be that thankful for a $130 tub of popcorn, some Uggs, and a Volkswagen Beetle, I know that God's people ought to give God praise when we realize that we have a mercy that flows to our lives that we don't deserve. Come on, man. I mean, you watch that, and like, we're talking about all temporal things. I mean, no doubt it's probably excited to be there until they realize they had to pay taxes on it all. But like at some point, like they're excited to be there. They couldn't believe they were there. They were overwhelmed with emotion. Like, I've never seen in worship any of you get that excited. But to be fair, I've never been that excited either during worship. If they can get that excited about some temporal stuff that will be obsolete in 5 years or less, I know God's people ought not be ashamed to give him some praise of eternal blessings for the blood of Jesus, for the grace of God. He didn't have to save you, but he chose to save you. He didn't have to call you, but he's called you. He doesn't have to sustain you, but you're sustained. He didn't have to wake you up this morning, but you're alive today. Amen. Somebody ought to say thank you, Jesus, for the things that he's done in your life. That you didn't forget me, but you came to rescue me. That you have not dealt with me according to my sin, that what my sins deserve, but you have compassion on me. God, I thank you for everything that has happened to me and everything that didn't happen to me. And we don't even think about those things. We need to be thankful. Daniel was thankful just as he had done previously at a time when the worst news hit him. For us, it may be similar to you got a bad doctor's report. Your child has gone astray. Your job is no longer available. Your marriage is a bit rocky. You're going to be spending Thanksgiving with your mother-in-law, whatever the situation may be. Like, whatever that is. The first thing Daniel did when he found out that he prayed, that he couldn't pray, that he was going to go to the lion's den if he did, he did it. He's like, well, this may be the end, I don't know, but I'm going to just keep doing what I'm doing. I'm just going to keep praising God and thanking God because that's who I am. The first thing we ought to do is thank you, Lord, for your mercies that are new every day. Thank you, Lord, that you have given me another day. Thank you that surely goodness and mercy follow me every day of my life. Just like Daniel had done before, he did it again, and he was not ashamed. If you are thankful to God, you will say it and show it. We may call it unexpressed gratitude to God, but God would call it a lost opportunity to give him praise. I love what God is doing here at Baraka. I mean, I'm excited about what God's doing at Baraka. We may not have the Oprah factor, But we have the God factor, and that should cause us to have a gratitude factor. Amen. The second thing is gratitude sustains joy and blessing. Gratitude sustains joy and blessing. I'm asked Tammy, and she kindly agreed to help me out, so she's going to come back up to the keyboard for a minute. And why she's coming, I want to show you an illustration of what gratitude does. This is what gratitude does in our lives. As a keyboard player or as a musician, oftentimes, you know, we look at what they do with their hands, but a lot of them have pedals that do various things. And a lot of times we don't even pay attention to the pedals that are in front of them. And on a piano, you have a sustain pedal. When they hit the sustain pedal, it puts an effect on the keyboard to make it sound different. So I'm going to ask her just to hit a note without the sustain pedal so you can hear. Right? Pretty quick, right? Hit it again. All right? Just in and out. All right, here's what the sustain pedal does. She's going to hit the same note the same way, but hold down the sustain pedal. Right? It sustains it longer. However that does it, it puts the effect through the keyboard, and it holds it out longer, maybe louder, whatever, but you can hear it. So if you play like some chords and do it without the sustain pedal, it'd sound like this. And then if you put the sustain pedal on, big difference, right? Can we thank Tammy? They can hit the same key in the exact same way, but the way the keyboard processes it, it's sustained. When the sustain pedal is applied, it changes things. Often we look at someone whose life is blessed, and we see the things that happen to them. But a lot of times the reason people are blessed isn't because of what has happened to them, but how they process the stuff that happens in their life. There are some people that cannot sustain the blessings God gives to them. In a lot of cases, it's because they have not learned to be grateful. Gratitude sustains, it holds out the blessings. We can become so weary in the fight we are fighting that we can not enjoy the blessings we have been given. Gratitude sustains those blessings. It gets us through even difficult situations in our life. Gratitude can take your joy and blessings and sustain it, that holds it out. The same way those pedals take the note and changes it into something else by the time you hear it. And takes your defeat and shortcomings and turns it around. Like, it's not that we're not going to go through storms, but when we have an attitude of gratitude, it sustains us through those hard times, and we come out the other side still rejoicing, still praising. Yes. Here's the third thing. Gratitude begins where my sense of entitlement ends. Gratitude begins where my sense of entitlement ends. Don't we all have a sense of entitlement? I mean, we picked on a certain generation last week, but we admitted that we're the reason that they're the way they are. But the truth is, we all have a little bit of entitlement in us. You can't be grateful for something you feel entitled to. For instance, listen, I've been giving money to the Internal Revenue Service for over 33 years. I was just figuring that out the other day. For over 33 years, I've been giving money to the IRS. Do you know what dawned on me some time ago? I have never, ever, 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 never, ever thought about sending a thank you note to the IRS for a tax refund. I never have. Like, until I just have that's never crossed my mind. Anybody ever do that? Like, you ever sent the IRS a thank you note? Why? Because it's your money. You don't thank someone for giving you your money. We forget everything we have is God's. The silver belongs to God. The gold belongs to God. Our breath belongs to God. We forget that if He doesn't breathe out, we don't breathe in. We become entitled and we start saying, I've got to, instead of I get to. We hear it all the time. I've got to go do this. No, we get to do that. I mean, when we let go of the entitlement, that's where gratitude begins. We become entitled and we start saying, I've got to, instead of I get to. And when your get to becomes a got to, you have lost your thankful. I've got to work in the nursery. Now, you forgot what a blessing it was for you. Like when you first signed up, you were excited about it. You got to snuggle babies, hold babies, smell babies, whatever you do, you know. I got to go to rehearsal. Do you remember when you first started and you couldn't wait to get there and you said, I can't believe I get to be a part of the worship team? And I've never heard any of our worship team say that. I'm just giving an illustration. We've got to go to church. No. We get to go to church and we get to worship King Jesus because he's worthy of all our worship. It's the greatest honor we have. We get to give praise to the one who died on the cross for our sins. We get to give praise to the one who changed our life for all eternity. Do you know him? Has he changed you? Because if he's changed you, like we don't have to, we don't got to, we get to. Anybody remember the first job you had that provided benefits? Like I remember the very first job I ever had that it wasn't just getting a paycheck for my wages, but like I got paid holidays. I mean, I looked right away which holidays that includes. I mean, that was awesome. I got paid vacation days. And I can remember how excited, like, I thought I had arrived. Like, I thought it was a big deal. I was so excited about it. I got a job with a salary and benefits. Until that point, like, I didn't have any benefits. All it takes, though, is a few people that have been in it a little longer than I had to begin thinking it really isn't a big deal anymore. It was a perk, but then it became just part of the package. Do you remember that? Like you were excited because these are the perks I get. And then after a series of time, it's just, well, this is just part of the package. I mean, this is what I deserve. This is what we ought to get. I wonder if that is why God says in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his what? His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities. I mean, he goes on this rampage. If you have time this afternoon, read Psalm 103. He lists all kinds of things. Who forgives all your iniquities. Like, that is one of God's benefits. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit. I mean, that's a huge benefit, right? Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like eagles. And he goes on and on and on about all the benefits of being a part of God. God may be saying to someone here today, you've forgotten my benefits. You think you're entitled to them, but you have forgotten your access into my presence is free to you, but it wasn't cheap for me. My son died so you can stand before me. My son was crucified on a criminal's cross so that you could have life. Don't you take for granted what cost the God of heaven the life of his only son. We're not entitled to anything. We don't deserve anything. We should walk around every day like we expect God to bless us because he is good, but knowing he doesn't owe us anything and we don't deserve anything. So we give him praise because he's good, because he's kind, because he's merciful, because he's gracious. This probably would be most of us now, but how many get paid by direct deposit? Like, it just shows up in your account. Probably most of us. Isn't that convenient? Like, it's so convenient, but I wonder if it doesn't cost us a little something. The satisfaction of at least we get to hold the check for just a little bit before we give it to AEP and Columbia Gas and Kroger's and everybody else. But that satisfaction of seeing what we've earned and taking it to the bank and making the deposit, it just isn't a big thing anymore because it just automatically shows up. The scripture we read at the very beginning today said, more than the blood of bulls and goats, more than the oxen being sacrificed, a life of praise pleases him. In the old covenant, they had to sacrifice animals. And what the blood of bulls and goats could never do, the blood of Jesus Christ did once for all. Imagine this morning, instead of coming here, you would go out into your field and you would find a bull or an ox. Maybe even one with horns and hooves. I mean, you would pick out a good one. Maybe you thought, boy, I need to really give a big sacrifice because I've been really bad this week. I don't know. I've got to drag that thing. I'm grateful that I live under the covenant of grace and mercy where we don't have to do that. I'm so grateful we can just come in here and worship him. But I wonder if sometimes I don't forget because every morning a direct deposit of God's grace and mercy hits my account. And I don't even realize it. I'm not smelling the blood of bulls and goats. I'm not seeing the bloody trail to the altar. I'm not hearing the sound of a bleeding lamb as a knife is being placed into its heart. I forget that it was through the sacrifice of the Lamb of God that all my sins are taken away. I become entitled to those things. And I'm asking God to do a fresh work in my life to see his goodness because I owe him everything. The song that we sing from time to time, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Thank you, Lord. Every moment is your mercy and grace towards us. I'm not entitled to any of that. And here's the last thing. Grateful people can find a blessing, enlarge a blessing, or create a blessing in almost any situation. Grateful people can find a blessing, enlarge a blessing, or create a blessing in almost any situation. The Bible says Daniel was thrown into the den of lions. The king was tormented because he didn't want to throw Daniel in, but it had to happen according to the decree that he had signed, and it couldn't be changed. And we find this in Daniel 6, verse 19. Then at break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Now that statement right there tells me his light was shining brightly. I mean, King Darius knew who Daniel was. If I was Daniel, I would have waited at least 30 to 60 seconds before answering him back. Right? Has your God saved you? I would have waited. Verse 21, then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king. I have done no harm." If I would have been Daniel and I had been thrown into the lion's den, there would have been at least six more chapters in the book of Daniel and how hard it was to be in the lion's den. I'm just saying, like, Daniel would have been 80 years old at this time. Think about that. Do you think he slept well in an old lion's pit with these huge, big animals that could devour him? Do you think he slept well at 80 years old? Do you think his back felt good when he woke up? Do you think it was a sleep by number bed down there? An adjustable bed? Do you think Daniel felt refreshed the next morning? Did you notice how much he says about the lion's den? Like, there's not one other verse about what happened on that night. Think about it. If we go through something that costs our schedule to be thrown off by 30 minutes, or our eggs weren't cooked exactly the way we wanted to, or the way we ordered them, or the line at the grocery store made us stand there for more than 15 minutes, we'll tell people the next week about it, for the whole next week. We'll tell them how we were delayed and how this happened. I wouldn't go there again. And they need to open up more registers. And we want others to know how hard it was. But Daniel, there was something about him. There's no need to tell you what it felt like to sleep next to the rear end of a lion in despair of my life. Right? Bottom line is this: my God rescued me. That's really all anybody needs to know. My God delivered me. My God has shown up just like I knew he would. And the lions didn't harm me. He didn't say the lions didn't scare me. He doesn't say that. He says, the lions didn't harm me. He doesn't lie about how unpleasant it was just to get the facts out. Instead, he said, I'll be grateful and I'll find the blessing in every situation. And do you know what happened? Darius went on to issue a decree that everyone had to worship Daniel's God. Now we have the ungodly king doing the work of evangelism. Think about that. Because of one man's grateful spirit, one man letting his light shine, because of one man who said, I'm going to find a blessing in the lion's den. And if I can praise God while I'm up, I'm going to praise God while I'm down. I'm going to trust that he is exalted forever and ever. Is there anyone in this house that is determined to give God praise? I hope you are. I hope you will leave wanting to choose thankful. That even in the darkest days of your life, that your testimony is so sure that nobody has any doubt of where you stand. And Heavenly Father, we thank you. God, honestly, thanks isn't adequate enough. You sent Jesus, your only son, to pay our sin debt, a debt that we could never pay. You turned your back on your own son for our benefit. You are so good to us. You give us way more than we deserve. Even the fact that we're living in America is your benefit and blessing to us. You didn't have to do that. God, you've allowed us to hear about Jesus. There's a lot of people who have never heard the name of Jesus. God, you're so good to us, and yet we oftentimes are so entitled. God, we ask your forgiveness. We ask you to give us a heart of gratitude.
Thank you for joining Baraka Church today. It is our sincere hope that you are blessed with a more peaceful and enriched life. We can be found on the web at placeofblessing.org, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or come worship with us at 2440 U.S. Highway 23 North in Delaware, Ohio. Baraka Church, a place of blessing.